coming up, I'm going to tell you how to transform your day in just 15 minutes, and then why learning and development is now a competitive differentiator for companies. Oil companies struggling to hire people, and I'm going to coach you up. Ah, yes, here we go, the Ken Coleman Show, helping you get the competitive edge to make more money and to make a bigger professional impact. How to transform your day in 15 minutes. Now, we could talk about doing this at the beginning of the day, which will be our context, but this could work at any point of your day. This teaching today is going to be very transferable for you at any point of your day. Let's talk about this. Clinical psychologist Broderick Sawyer authored an article that we came across, and the concept of the article was, in fact, how 15 minutes every morning can help you maintain your mental health. And obviously, we could all benefit from that. So what is actually happening in this 15-minute ritual that this psychologist lays out? Well, what's happening is we are lowering our cortisone levels, okay? And so this is the main causer of stress, okay? I take that back. Whatever causes us stress, this hormone, cortisol, is what then releases. And so whether we're fearful, we're overwhelmed, whatever is causing you stress, relationship stress, whatever's causing stress, then the body releases cortisone, okay? And so it is the main hormone that can then, when there's too much of this stuff going on, all right, an imbalance, meaning I am stressed out too much or all the time, then the release of this hormone is obviously causing negative physical effects. So we feel it because essentially, we have too much cortisol just driving through our veins, and it has a negative impact. So obviously, we've seen over the last couple of years, specifically, this is heightened. Stress was a function of work. Anyway, there's just always going to be a certain amount of stress, good stress, bad stress, but we've seen so much negative stress, right? And so everybody has felt too much of a surge of cortisol. And so I want to look at the solution. The problem is too much stress. But what's the solution to dealing with the stress? Because sometimes we cannot eliminate the stress, but what we have to do is overcome the stress. And so I want us to think about this as mental health hygiene, right? Every morning, I hope most of you brush your teeth and put on some deodorant after showering. All right, there's your basic hygiene that is good for you and, quite frankly, good for us who have to interact with you. Okay, so what do you need to be doing in the morning and even throughout the day to have good mental health hygiene? Because good physical hygiene is important for our health and well-being, so is mental health hygiene. So I'm going to give you some things. As I read the article, there was several suggestions, but this is what I do, and this is a guide for you. You can add to this, take away, whatever you want. But here is what I believe, four areas of mental focus that if you do every morning, and again, you can do this at any point of the day, almost as a reset, if you will. You could do this at the end of the day as a great way to kind of head into the time of sleep with a healthy mindset. So use this however you want. But here's 15 minutes in the morning. I want you to focus on what you're grateful for first. Start with gratitude. I mean, first thought of the day. Before you think about what you have to do, before you really engage your brain, focus on what you're grateful for. I do this. I'm the first one up. And I have a couple functional things, right? Get the robe on, the slippers. I'm a robe and slippers guy, okay? I have maximum comfort. And me and my wife like to keep the house cold because we know that colder houses, you sleep better. So when I wake up in the morning, even the mid of summer, I mean, I'm a little chilly. And I go and I get a cup of coffee and I let the dogs out. As soon as I let the dogs out, I sit down in my front room. And I now am focusing on gratitude. And for me, it's a prayerful experience of gratitude. I thank God for multiple things. Here's what happens whether you're praying or not when you focus first thoughts in of the day, real thoughts. I mean, focused thoughts. Hey, getting up, walking to the bathroom, putting the robe on, getting the coffee, letting the dogs out. That's not what I would call thought, right? That's function. That's a functional thing. You could be thinking of a million things. But as we sit down to have real thought, first focused thought is what we're grateful for, whether you're praying or not. This addresses the now. And it addresses the past. I'm grateful for this now. I'm grateful for this in the past. I look at my life. My life is blessed. And so what happens is we look back and we focus on the now, on what we are grateful for. This is the first thought in. And this is a great way to start your day. Second, focus on what you're excited about. So we've been thinking about things we're grateful for. I'm grateful for my wife. I'm grateful for my kids. I'm grateful for my work. I'm grateful for my health. I'm grateful for my friends. I'm grateful for my family. So we're already in this place of, man, I'm just a blessed person. Right? Life sucks somewhere. It's not here. That's that thought, right? So then we go, okay, what am I excited about? Now, this is addressing the now, today, and the future. What am I excited about today? Right? Well, what am I excited about next month? What am I excited about over the next 2 to 3 years? This is forward thinking, and we are now excited and we are engaging our enthusiasm, which is a wonder drug. Number three. The first two things were, here's what to focus on. Here are two things not to focus on. Number one, in the morning, first thing out of the gate, even before you go to the office, I would avoid social media and comparison. Avoid opportunities where you can slip into the comparison game, which is a cancer for the soul. These people have more followers than me. These people have all these exciting pictures of where they're vacationing and we're trying to get out of debt right now. Or these people are talking about how they just bought a new car and their work and blah, blah, blah. And I'm training right now to pivot careers. You start getting in that comparison game and you lose all focus on what you're grateful for. You lose all focus on what you're excited for that quickly. Those first two things, they will go out the window so fast when you start comparing yourself to somebody else in their life. And then the second thing, that's the fourth and final exercise, we're avoiding comparison was three. Number four, avoid negativity in the news. In case you haven't figured it out, the way that the news, online, television, how they get their attention is with a sensational and almost always, not all the time, but almost always, a negative or scary headline. When you start paying attention to all those negative news stories, you are quick to start worrying about stuff that you shouldn't worry about and many times don't need to worry about. So if we don't brush our teeth, we get gum disease, right? My dentist has told me that forever, tells my kids that. And the same goes for our mind. If we don't take time in the morning, the afternoon, evening, whatever works for you, or all of those times, if we don't take the time to mentally flush our mind, brush our mind, good mental focus, good mental hygiene, that we will develop mental challenges, a disease of the soul. Over 280 million people have been affected by data breaches this year alone. The need for cybersecurity is exploding. Cybersecurity jobs will grow 33% in the next decade. To meet this demand, Bethel School of Technology has launched a program in cybersecurity. Bethel School of Tech's online boot camp provides their students the most up-to-date tech training with the highest chances of post-school employment. And they do it at a fraction of the cost in a fraction of the time. Go to betheltech.net/Ken Coleman to get started. That's betheltech.net/Ken Coleman. Helping you make more money and experience more meaning, more impact in your professional life. This is the Ken Coleman Show. I am your coach. Coming up in our next segment, we will go to the coaching session. And if you are stuck, we're looking for more of those calls. Happy to help you out with future. Happy to help you out with clarity. Happy to help you out with choice A, B, or C. But we want to get more of the calls that are related to, I'm stuck, Ken, I got to get out of this situation. I'm in a dumpster fire, or I don't think I can get out. Do I try to get out? Do I stay? How do I stay? If you're stuck dealing with some really difficult nightmare work conditions, we would love to coach you up. 844-747-2577. You can also email the show to schedule the call. ask@kencoleman.com. All right. It's time to break down two really interesting stories. I'm a man of the people. I read so that you don't have to. Let's go. It's time for In the News. All right, for some time I have been saying to you, the people, that when you are looking for a culture of a company to go, is this a place for me? I have said many, many times that you need to make sure that they are known for developing and promoting people, right? I said those are two key distinctions. Are they known for developing and promoting people? And by the way, if a company is known for developing and promoting people, you know what you can also assume? That they care about their people and they're going to have a pretty healthy culture. Because you can't want to develop, train people, and then move them up the ladder and promote them without caring about people. So that's a wonderful little test there as you're researching. Is there a track record that they actively develop people and they actively promote people? It's a good sign. So here comes this article today. I said, okay, we got to show this. Why learning and development is now a competitive differentiator. New report out in this article. What's the source of this article? I want to make sure I give the love here. Forbes magazine. Thank you very much. They cite some studies. Partnership of Talent, LMS, and Epignosis, and the Society for Human Resource Management, which is kind of the big association of HR professionals. So they did a study, and there's some key findings in this about companies that are now realizing that learning and development for their people, so companies need to provide this, that this is a competitive advantage for companies in this great resignation where people are changing jobs all the time. So how do I attract people? How do I keep people? Okay. So a couple of things. On the HR side, this is what the findings are showing. They surveyed HR professionals, and then they surveyed workers. And I'm going to give you some findings from both. In the HR side, 67% of HR managers have an increased learning development budget in 2022. That's good. Companies are not only realizing it, they're funding this. 46% of HR managers already have specific training in place for new graduates that are leaving college and coming into the workforce. What college didn't do for them, they're going to do for them. Anybody picking up on that? Companies are realizing, we got to train new college grads. They're really not ready for the workforce. I'm going to leave that one there for today. 42% offer training to support the reentry of formerly retired employees. This is a growing group of people working in America. Men and women who've retired previously, but either they need the continued financial gain that the paycheck provides, or they're bored. And they've been enticed to come back out of retirement because companies need talent. They're back. And so they need some training, some upskilling as well. 72% of HR managers would invest in mental health and well-being training if they had a higher budget. 77% of HR managers are likely to focus on life skills within the next 12 months. More on that in a moment. Now, on the employee side, just a couple of pieces of data. 76% of employees are more likely to stay with a company that offers continuous training. Duh. Leaders, listen to me. If you're struggling to retain people, then you better figure out this piece of data right here. 76 percent of employees are likely to stay with a company that offers them continuous training. I will say this again and again and again. Listen to me, leaders. People don't want a better job, they want a better life. You've got to remember that. They think they want a better job, but what they want is a job that allows them to lead a more fulfilled life. Wake up, leaders. What is this saying? They're saying, I'll stay with a company, or more likely to stay with a company, if I feel like they're going to give me a chance to have a better life. in the form of more money, more responsibility, and achievement and accomplishment. Psychology 101, leaders. You want to know why people are leaving you? Sometimes it's not what you did to them. It's what you didn't do for them. Mind-blowing little comment there. And then final piece of data on this, 1 in 2 employees is pursuing learning opportunities on their own. So if you aren't training them, folks, they're going out and getting it on their own. 78% of employees find it important that they receive life skills training. What are we talking about? Emotional skills, self-awareness, and coping with stress, social skills, empathy, effective communication, and relationship skills, cognitive skills, problem-solving, decision-making, critical and creative thinking. So there you go. Very, very interesting stuff. Very interesting stuff. You want to know why people are leaving? It ain't just for a paycheck. They're looking for advancement. We are creatures of advancement. Okay, next story. U.S. oil companies struggle to hire in a tight labor market. This is from ZipRecruiter. U.S. government figures show there are roughly 100,000 fewer workers in the oil and gas industry than there were before the pandemic started 2 years ago. Now, you're wondering, why am I sharing this very detailed? Because this isn't as detailed as you think. This is a broad application for companies and leaders and you, the worker, to pay attention to. This is the oil and gas industry, folks. We're talking big bucks, big money. They can't hire people. Why? One of the big energy companies, Patterson UTI CEO Andy Hendricks said, "We're competing against Amazon hiring drivers or Target with positions in air-conditioned warehouses. It's easier than drilling on a rig in West Texas in the summer." So he's sitting there going, look, I can pay really good money, but now Target's paying real good money. And instead of standing on a blazing hot oil rig in Texas, and West Texas is awful in the summer, you can't open your mouth without getting a mouthful of dust. They're going, I can work in an air-conditioned warehouse for Target, or I can drive for Amazon and make the same amount of money. It's very interesting. Hendricks went on to say that he raised wages to be more competitive last year, but the average compensation in the industry has not kept pace with inflation. But I got news for him. I wish I could consult with that executive, because the issue is not that the raise in compensation is not keeping up with inflation. The issue is you're relying completely on compensation to attract and keep employees. And we just talked about this in our last news story. How does the oil rig attract those workers? It's more than salary. You may need to give them some really amazing benefits to deal with the physical strain. You may need to give them stock options, much better investing portfolios and programs. Give them continuous education and learning so they're going, hey, I can start here and move up to there, and now I'm going to go recruit people, younger people that want to do this kind of hard work. They will trade off the hard work in West Texas if what's on the other side is better than anywhere else, and the oil company's got the money to do it. They need to step up and do it, or they're going to be stuck with this problem. ZipRecruiter is the source of that article. As you know, I endorse ZipRecruiter. The reason is because I hear from you every day on social media, email, phone calls to the show about how stinking awful the hiring process is. Even though technology has made it easier for people to apply, it's harder to get noticed. You get ghosted. It feels lonely. It's frustrating. ZipRecruiter gets it. They're sending you a job that you can apply to with one click. Go to ZipRecruiter.com. ZipRecruiter.com. It's coaching time on the Ken Coleman Show. Our entire goal is to help you get the competitive edge to make more money and to make more impact professionally. Milka Ortiz is one of our YouTube crazies, and she said in the chat room that she wants to make a call in soon. She needs some leadership coaching. And it occurs to me, Alex, hey, if you are a leader a new leader or about to be a leader, or you've been a leader for a while and you feel like something's not working, I'll coach you up. We'll coach your leadership. We'll do leadership coaching calls. Amanda's standing by. 844-747-2577. By the way, big part of this show, do you know what's going bananas on our YouTube channel? Horrible bossery stories. When I talk about horrible bossery, that's a term I created, and bad leadership, the clips go nuts. Why? Because so many people are suffering at the feet of bad leaders. I don't think they're bad people most of the time, but I do think they're bad leaders. There's a difference. I want to help leaders. I want to help you lead better. So there you go. So Milka, I'm standing by. But first, Courtney from Columbus, Ohio. Courtney, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hey, how's it going, Ken? Thanks for taking my call.
You bet. What's up?
Not much. So, hey, I took the Get Clear assessment, and I've been looking through some of the potential fields to get into, but I haven't really found anything that's like really fired me up, and I was just hoping you can maybe give me some more clarity.
Yeah, sure. So glad you took the assessment. I want you to focus less on the professional possibilities. If you're keeping score at home and you have the assessment, it's page 20. After we show you your purpose statement, and it reads like this, and this was one of our team members. I was created to use my talents of instruction, organization, and justice to perform my passions of finishing, making, and performing to accomplish my mission of service by producing assistance protection. Once you get that purpose statement, and you got yours, Courtney, that next page of professional possibilities is designed to get your brain looking. But ultimately, I wouldn't put too much into that, because what we want you to do is go to the assessment and you read that purpose statement for yourself. And then you can go back and do a deep dive into the specific reports on the top three talents and then the top three passions, work you love, right? And you begin to read that and you go, okay, where would I be able to do that work most of the day? And that purpose statement actually becomes what I would call a high-level job description. And what I mean by, oh boy, that scared me half to death.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, and I think the cinnamon buns are ready. If you want to pull those out, that'd be great. I thought it was on our end. I was like, geez, the sprinklers are about to come on and my hair is not going to look the same. I kid. Courtney, you still with me?
Sorry about that.
Everything good?
Yeah, I'm still here. Sorry about that.
Don't be sorry. I'm actually having great fun with it. yeah, I'm glad it's on your end, not mine, right? So looking at it as a high-level job description, when you look at it that way, instead of focusing on the professional possibilities in the assessment, let your mind wander a little bit towards who are the people that this purpose statement is going to put me in touch with to help? What are the problems that this purpose statement is going to put me in a position to solve? What are the solutions that this purpose statement is going to put me in line with to provide? Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
All right, so give me a couple thoughts. Because I know you have them.
Yeah. I think working with people that can't afford legal aid in some kind of way.
Great. Now, that is a very specific group of people. Now we're on to something. So those are the people. And the problem is also that they can't afford the legal services that they need. So that's the people and the problem. What's the solution that you want to provide to those people?
I guess just legal aid, guidance, any kind of resources that may help them.
Boom. Now here's the fun question. Who's doing that? What organizations are doing that, offering those solutions? Where do I look to find those organizations?
Gotcha.
Now, how does that feel?
That sounds like good direction.
Right. So here's the deal. You take an assessment like that, and I think there's a natural expectation that, boom, I'm going to have all these super crystal clear ideas. Some people will. But many will have to go, okay, now I have a very clear purpose statement that shows me that I need to be spending 3/4 of my day, ideally, eventually, not right away. Sometimes we got to get in and we got to move our way up. But eventually that dream job is defined by spending most of my day using what I do best, my talent, doing work that I really, really enjoy. So for you, that might be research. communication, guiding, instruction. Does that sound about right?
The researching, definitely.
Yeah. Yeah. So where can I spend most of my time? Because you're researching resources for those people.
Right.
So tell me what your missional result was on your assessment. I think I know what it is, but I want you to tell me what it came out as.
Okay. It says, I was created to use my talents of logic, inspection, and justice to perform my passions of analyzing, researching, planning to accomplish my mission of achievement.
Interesting.
By producing wins and recognition. Mm-hmm.
So you're a guy, so that achievement as your primary mission is, you're a guy that whose work needs to be recognized in the form of a scoreboard. So for instance, if we go down this path of helping people with legal aid, right? So immigrants mm-hmm. or illegal immigrants or whatever it is, okay? And we say, okay, I know that I need to be in a position where I am measured by how many people I get their green card or how many people get their citizenship or how many people get this service or this service or this service. And so I need to see a scoreboard where I am racking up the numbers. Does that sound right to you?
Somewhat. That was part of the assessment. I was a bit confused about the scoreboard part because it doesn't seem all that important to me.
Okay, well, let me read to you. I've got it right here. Let me read to you what achievement is.
Okay.
Sometimes people get lost in the words. Let's just see. You feel significance when you achieve a goal, exceed an expectation, and beat the competition. True or false?
True.
Winning energizes you. True or false?
True.
Challenges motivate and inspire you to take action because you're always looking for the next opportunity to win. You strive to have the best idea in the meeting, make record sales, or lead the highest performing team. True or false?
True.
You get excited when others notice your results. True or false?
That one's somewhat for me.
Okay, great. And then you want and need scoreboards to track your progress. True or false?
I would definitely say I need it. I don't have much of a desire for it. If that makes any sense.
Got it. But so I'm trying to summarize in this assessment, hundreds of thousands of people, but you notice the first 90% of that description, you said that's true about me. So don't hung up on when I say scoreboard, it's not necessarily so that everybody's going, woohoo, Courtney's the man. It's just that you need to see and track your results. You want to be effective, true or false.
Right. True.
That's what I mean by achievement. You want to know that you're driving results and you see progress in the results. Is that true?
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely.
Well, that's achievement.
Okay.
Because I want you to go back to your assessment and look at what your second highest missional result was. Can you see that? On the graph? You got it in front of you?
I do. I'm not sure what page that will be on.
It will be, look at this, folks. We're going real time on
yeah,
this.
Yeah, service, efficiency, and creation.
All right, boom. Service was number two.
Okay.
And it was still high.
Yeah.
So while achievement scored highest, service was right there. That means you are motivated to serve people and serve as many people as possible and see that you're growing, see that you are getting better at it. Make sense?
Yeah, it does.
All right. So again, go back to each of those individual talents, each individual passion, read it again. Where is it true for me? And I know that I've got one example of the type of people I want to help. Keep doing the exercise. Who are some other people you really want to help? What's the problem or desire they have? What solution can you bring to meet that problem or desire? Make sense?
Makes sense.
Those are the simple questions. And that's how we use the assessment. And we just keep going back to clarity, and then the results are going to happen. Now, listen, I got to let you go. You get that pizza out of the oven and enjoy the rest of your lunch. Hey, you matter. You have what it takes. Press on.
Thanks for listening to The Ken Coleman Show. For more, you can find the show on demand wherever you listen to podcasts and watch the show on YouTube. You can also find Ken across all social media by following @KenColeman.
Hey, if you're a fan of this podcast, we've got more where that came from. Ever wondered how to win in business and leadership? I'm George Camel, host of the Entree Leadership Podcast, where you'll hear exceptional advice, origin stories, and practical strategies for success. These weekly conversations with America's brightest business owners, thought leaders, and entrepreneurs will help you succeed in all areas of business and leadership. Listen to the Entree Leadership Podcast wherever you listen to podcasts.